So do I lean in or do I just stay?
Or she shall face the camera. Or at the front.
So this way? Wow. You guys, I was looking the opposite direction. You guys, being all blind right. Is so weird.
It's weird.
In a way. It can be weird funny on some days, and then it's weird. Oh my gosh, what is that?
We will talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll definitely get to that.
Cool. So, right.
We're good to go?
Yes.
So, we all have a story to tell, and we are all stories to be told. A very lovely afternoon from the Hideout Podcast. My name is Homeboy. And today, hey, you guys, I'm telling you, I have an amazing guest. So let me give you a small background of how we met the first time. So ilikuwa mwezi wa nne, I went to Abel Mutua's live recording. So nimeketi tu hapo, and then kidogo, Abel Mutua is starting a very good story up with all. Like kuna mtu anataka kuintroduce kwa stage. So guess who? Abel Mutua, mkurugenzi introduced. It was Eve. Guy Eve, karibu sana. I'm so happy to see you today.
Asante sana.
Thank you so much for coming to my podcast and accepting my invite.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, unajua hiyo siku, by the way, we kind of met, tulipatana hapo kwa stairs, and then your friend said hi, and then, but unajua sasa tulikuwa tu, kila mtu alikuwa tu busy your day. But it was a good day.
So yes, you know. It was. Yeah. Even what happened, I didn't know he was going to tell my story. I had not talked to Evil.
You didn't know?
I didn't know. So
Ukweli.
I'm serious. So Kai, and uh-huh. He knew it. Because I feel like when I was sitting, at the very front.
I was seated seats mbili nyuma yako.
So I think even when we got in, Mercy is my editor, mm-hmm. and she's also my friend. We've worked together back in 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. At 66 Entertainment. Mm-hmm. So, Mercy had, like, I think she had leakage, what mm-hmm. was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we get in, and then he told the first two stories. I mean, I'm just seated. I'm like, hey, this is so cool. Like, this is such
this a... This is so cool. Had you ever gone to his live recording before? That was your first time.
That was my first time. And then let me tell you, so many things have been happening after I lost my sight. I mean, after I fell sick in June 2020. So I feel like I've been in a coma. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things have sprouted out during that time. I mean, between June 2020 and the time... That is April 2022. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things has been sprouting up. So you don't know what has been happening. I didn't even know Abel Mutua has a thing. Mm-hmm. So even I didn't know there was this mkurugenzi. So I'm being told so many things. Even now when Mercy told me about it, I was like, yeah, you should be on Abel Mutua's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. Cool. I know him from the past, mm-hmm. but cool. That's okay. If mm-hmm. he's okay with it, why not?
So Mercy was kind of having a leakage.
She told me that it would be nice if I went for his recording mm-hmm. because it's a really nice experience. Mm-hmm. And also it would be nice for me if we can get him to mention my YouTube channel, mm-hmm. it would also give me a boost. Mm-hmm. Unajua rafiki to rafiki. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. If he's okay with it, me, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. But then it was never confirmed. Mm-hmm. So the last time we talked with Mercy, mm-hmm. She said, oh yeah, we can go for the live recording, mm-hmm. but Abel hasn't given me feedback. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. In fact, me, I want to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. My social life is literally very boring. Mm-hmm. So we went for the recording. So even when we were saying the story, hey, you know, I'm seated. And then he says, hey, there's a guy, there's a person I know. Then he said, insider. I'm like,
what's in me?
No, I was like, hey, who's that worked in Inside? I want to know them.
Maybe you know them.
Maybe I know them. So it's mm-hmm. like, hey, 2000 and CG, what? I'm like, ay, mtu mwanana sound. Ni kama ni mtu tulipitana mashul. Then he continues. And then he said, mm-hmm. We met in 2021 at this concert. I was like,
Historically familiar.
That's me.
It's so familiar.
So even did, oh my God.
By the way, you are seated 2 seats in front of me. So Abel Mutua was like, hey, he really introduced you in such a good way.
I was like,
hey, all right.
Me, I was almost entering under the seat because you know you're thinking
hey, like what is going on?
The Kenya Theater. But when he told my story, you know, it's interesting when you hear someone else tell your story and you're like,
I know.
Okay. But I loved the way he did it. He's such a good storyteller.
He really is.
It almost made me, you know, I was feeling all teary, although my tears had not gotten visa from Canada, so they hadn't arrived.
They hadn't arrived that day yet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh my gosh, you're doing this? I thought he just mentioned, like, oh yeah, I have a friend here who has a YouTube channel, you guys subscribe, and then he moves on to the next story. That's what I thought he would do. But then he tells my story, and I'm just there thinking, oh my God, oh my goodness, what is happening?
What is happening?
Oh my gosh, he's doing this, a whole story on me, why? Oh my gosh, I feel like, should I hug you? What should I do? I don't know what to do. But... you know, it's more of, I was so grateful for that. And the fact that he thought I was worthy of my story being told.
Yeah.
And, you know, after all the things that I have gone through, I'm just like, this is such a good gesture for someone to do this for me, despite how he's grown. Because most people grow and then they leave you behind. It's like, you're bothering them. And so whenever I've tried talking to people who I knew in the entertainment business, it's so hard to, you know, get them. It's like, hey, no, we don't know how to deal with you. We'll talk to you later. So this guy actually agreed and he did it. And he did it so...
He did it so well. With so much grace and passion. It was so beautiful.
Oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. So I was really happy about that day.
You remember when he said... when you mentioned, he said that you have a YouTube channel, and then he was like, "Tueni simu zenyu." So everyone was like, "Tukatoma simu."
Yeah.
And then ukatuambia YouTube channel yako. You remember that?
Yes.
How many subscribers did you have that day?
At that point, I was at 700 and something. At 700 and something subscribers. So after a while, I think by that time when I got home, it was 913.
By the way, People subscribe
oh my gosh,
to your YouTube channel.
I'm like, oh my gosh, you guy, 913.
And you were like, oh, I'm going to be famous. Yeah. I still remember that. But you said, oh, I'm going to be famous. And I was like, all right, so this is a good one now.
You know, you never think when you start. Okay, honestly, when I was starting my YouTube channel, you have hope of it to grow. And just having been in the entertainment sort of film production business, you know how people work and you know how the scene is. Sometimes it's not as receptive as you think it is going to be. You might have such a beautiful story, you might have so much content, good content, but people don't receive it the same way you expect it to be received.
That is true.
So when you hear someone saying this on your behalf, you're not telling him, you're not paying him to do it, he's just doing it out of their hearts. You feel very encouraged and you know that ata kama yamefika pale, I'm right behind. I can actually get to that point. So even when I was saying I'm going to be famous, it's more like I never thought this was ever going to happen. Yeah, but it's here.
You being there at a live recording. And we were so many, by the way. You know, there were people when you were like, hadi upstairs.
Yeah.
And everyone like, anitoa simu yao. And then all of us like, took a subscribe to your YouTube channel.
I was really encouraged. And it's just been growing slowly. And now when the episode itself came out.
Or the episode from Kuruna. I also saw that, by the way. Ikona, it has so many views, by the way.
Oh my gosh, my friend, the one who uploads for me my uploads, my episodes. We had uploaded, Kuru had uploaded on Friday, I think. Then Askez uploaded on Saturday. Oh my gosh. Like, that is the most viewed
the most viewed episode on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, and then it was in the morning. I was like, oh my gosh. In fact, when I was at 9:31, I think, I was really pleading. I was telling guys 60 more people to go. I mean, 70 people. Yeah, 1K. Mm-hmm. And carried people on Facebook. My friends, I was like, yo, we only have 60 people. I mean, 70 people to get to 1K. See, you guys do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Saturday at around, I think, 2-ish, my friend calls me and tells me, have you checked the YouTube channel? I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just check it out. Just see what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
I check my subscribers. I'm like, 2.1.
Is this really happening?
I was begging for 70 to get to 1K. We are at 2.1.
1,000 plus.
Yeah, I'm like, what happened? What's happening? Then I remembered, oh, yeah. Because immediately Kurugenzi uploaded his episode. Mm-hmm. My friend from the States is the first one. She was the first one to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a few minutes after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
She sent me and told me, I didn't know that you did this,
mm-hmm.
but this is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, I'll wake up to watch it. Then she texts me again. No, I couldn't sleep.
I couldn't sleep. Let me watch it now.
I had to watch it.
I had to watch it right away.
Mm-hmm. And I got encouraged, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I got encouraged. And it went from 2 to 5. And mm-hmm. now we are at 5K subscribers. I think 5.25 subscribers. And I'm grateful. Yeah.
I'm also so happy that you got so many subscribers during that period of time. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and your story is definitely worth to be heard. So that is why you're here today for Hideout Podcast, for you to tell people your story, because, you know, we all have a story to tell. So today we're going to listen to your story.
Well, my story is, I'm just a kawaida Nairobi girl.
Hey, we'll tell this people your name. I don't even think we've started with your name. But you guys, I'm
imagine yake kweli. Okay, yeah, she introduced me as Eve. My name is Eve Kibare.
Mm-hmm.
Born and bred in Nairobi.
Nairobi wapi? Nairobi wapi? Tusikie pengine uko na mahomi hapa.
Wase nimetoka Githurai.
Githurai, mimi naishi Mwihoko, by the way. I'm from Mwihoko. Githurai wapi? 44.
But mostly Zimmerman. Let me just say Zimmerman. Yeah, but you see it's Githurai.
Yeah, Githurai. Sisi ni watu wa huko.
Literally tulikuwa tunatembea, ukitaka kwenda kukula chipo chip unatembea unapiga lap unafika Githurai unakula chipo hapo kwa Sam. Alafu narudi.
Oh, unatembea tu hivyo kalese polepole ukikula chipo hadi
mtu.
Hadi Zima.
Bas, yeah. Even Githurai 45, you never used to take baths. In fact, like, you just cut across.
Which year was this?
Oh, as a child, because I had relatives in 44 and 45.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I would remember, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh my God, I have auntie so-and-so. I haven't seen auntie so-and-so in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And those days, you didn't have mobile phones. So you just tell yourself, let me wake
up.
And then you hope that it's not going to cause chaos when you get back home. And then they say, unajua tulikuwa na ile siku alikuja kwangu. And your mom is like,
ulienda siku gani?
Ulitembea peke yako kwa nini?
Lini.
But I think those days, I'd say they were safer, but also I was just me. I was a free spirit, so me. I'd walk. This my auntie called Auntie Grace. She used to be in there next to Uncle Sam. She used to have a cafe, and she'd sell. She had a cafe, and sometimes she'd sell fries. So there are days I'm just like, Akika, I don't have money. And I want to eat fries.
Mtamani chipo.
I know. Akisi, let me go buy a t-shirt, Grace's, and see if atanipe chip sauce.
Yeah.
And you know, as a kid, even that chip sauce is so good. You feel like you've been fulfilled, and now you're good to go for the next 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I grew up in Zimmerman, and literally I've lived in Zimmerman up until I left. I moved out in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I moved out on my own in 2013, but I moved out of Zimmerman in 2015, and I moved to South B, then I moved to Kasarani. I wanted to leave. You know, when you've grown up in the same hood, you feel like, guy, you're not growing. You're just circulating the same.
That is so true, by the way. You never grow from go explore.
I was like, let me test the waters of Ukonje. Mm-hmm. How do people live out there? Mm-hmm. You know, how is the environment, the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's when I moved to South B. I think South B is a whole different, there's a very different, culture.
Oh, than how
than Zimmerman. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Zimmerman, everybody knows you. Kipiga kona, you're like, that guy, I was with him in primary school. Chat. Yani, even when you chomoka like this and you go CG to see you, you just decided, let me go use that back route CG to go buy the rice and what. You're doing your shopping for your house.
Mm-hmm.
You meet with your mom's friend and you're like, you can't just have peace.
Can
you imagine? And then maybe at that point in time, you've just started, you know, you're living on your own, but you're still in the same store with your family.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, you can decide that you can't even go. I couldn't go to the locals. How?
Mm-hmm.
I go to the locals, I meet with my mom's friend, and then they go tell my mom, by the house with your daughter. I'm like, nilimwona na chali fulani, huyo mtali simpendi sana. Unajua huyo ni kijana wa fulani anavutanga bangi. And you're like, oh my God.
Oh my God, huyo amechoma.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, growth, yeah. Mm-hmm. But my story is... like, I am a free spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved writing since I was a small kid. I think when I discovered writing, and that was composition writing, and I discovered, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
you guys, you can score points for writing well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a very good composition writer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to high school. I think
which primary school was that?
Went to Marion Preparatory.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finished in Marion Farmhouse, which is the boarding school of Marion Preparatory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I finished primary school, went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
High school was a whole different ballgame. My God.
Which high school was that?
Do we have to mention?
Yes, please. Pengine kwa school with Sapa.
Sitaki.
Kwani uko unapenda high school yako?
Nini?
Uko na story behind your high school. Apana,
imagine it's just there's people usually put it on us. It's tunakele wango, but I went to...
Umejitatea aje mapema.
Let me just say, I went to Alliance.
You went to Alliance?
Yes, I went to Alliance.
Kwanini unaogopa kusema you went to Alliance?
Because it's a joke. It's I went to Alliance. Atu namonga tunyamazi. But
mnembonga mnyamazi.
But imagine it's not girls. Mm-hmm. It's the dudes. It's not us.
Boys know who make
me. A big deal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Alliance and... What? You guys, that was a whole different ball game.
You are a bright student, I can see. Oh, men are in Alliance.
It's
hey,
you.
Yo, cheer.
You all guys, right. Uh-huh. I think, okay, fine. I always thought of myself as a smart kid from, I think, nursery school.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to Alliance, it's full of people like you. And then the system of education is a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I think 844 is not for everyone. And I think the cramming system is not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So of us we love acquiring knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like mastering knowledge.
Oh, mastering knowledge.
Yo, yaku master.
Yaku cram.
Yaku cram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so bad at it. I realized I was so bad at it in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed my high school. I have made the most amazing friends from high school.
Which was your favorite subject in high school?
History
and government.
Yes, history. Because I learned a lot from history. Even today, I still watch documentaries to learn about the history of Africa and to just learn where we come from and why we behave the way we behave. You know, I'm not the kind of person who just goes into saying, even though a Kenya will behave.
Mm-hmm. You're not a Kenya.
That is okay. I'm like, no, that's not Kenyan.
That is not Kenyan.
There's something that made us behave the way we are behaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if when you listen to the way, and when you talk to your parents, and you talk to the older folk, they will tell you something different.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you, we were never used to behave like this. So there's something that happened mm-hmm. that changed the way we behave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not Kenyan. That means it's just... a culture that changed. There's something that implies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
even when someone says ati au ni wameru even though we behave, I'm like but when you talk to the older folks, even grandmothers, and you ask them, but in your time, why you be was it like this, they'll tell you no. During their time, it was, I mean, it is a behavior, it's a human behavior, but the reason why people behave, I even learned that the reason why Nyeri people are very hoarse, they look like they're very cross with the world and very harsh, it's because of the kind of things they went through during the colonial period.
Oh, that is why. So they still hold that
culture. They have that trauma stuck in their systems, and they didn't know what to do with it, so they continued it with the next generation.
Also, the trauma has been passed from generation to generation.
Without being explained why. You know, when somebody hits you because you've seen, and you know that, oh, ukikosea unachapwa na slipper, unarushiwa kiatu. You think that that's the culture. And then you do it to your kid does it to their kid, and then unaambiwangwa aya but familia kinao wanakuanga na hasira mbaya. It came from somewhere. There was history. So that's why I loved history. I think if I had taken time to learn physics. I mean, I learned physics, but the cramming, I told you.
Now.
But physics was cool. I hated chemistry because I honestly could not understand chemistry. Somewhere in my medulla oblongata, refused
to understand.
It just told me, foreign, foreign. And I'm like, why?
Why?
You're disowning me now. Anyway.
So chemistry was just out. You ilikuwa tu inje.
Yeah, I may blame the teachers.
Oh, you're blaming the teachers, not yourself.
Yeah, because I'm like, okay, you see, this is now where I also go back into history. I'm like, I've always been a smart kid. Did I just switch off? Did a button just go off and I became a dunderhead? What exactly happened?
What
is happening to me? Yes. I loved math, but math did not love me. The teacher was, it's about cramming again.
The math was not mathing.
Because it was always about the syllabus. Let's finish the syllabus. So I'm always trying to catch up with the syllabus that I'm not understanding things. So I'm doing things to finish, not doing things to understand. But anyway, my high school experience also built my character and it also built a bit of my personality, because even with that, I was able to learn how to become whoever I ended up becoming, like a very strong, opinionated human being. And then now also the whole I went to Alliance Fraternity, it builds your character. Us guys got character development in high school.
Mlipata kitambo watu Alliance.
Alliance High School, hey, those guys, they already had that arrogance. It is built in them in high school. The fact that you went to Alliance, you're the cream de la cream. And then they're bringing to you that you're like, well, you think us, you're the cream de la who?
Girls.
Anybody. It's like, at the end of the day, I feel like somehow, after the colonialists left and they left the education system being transpired between being put down for pupils and students to learn, it was more so like me creating an army. They're not really creating people to understand their environment, their purpose of being. It was mostly it's like creating robots or human beings to be able to supply for their world. So you find that even this whole confidence being built in school, you're told you're like this, you're supposed to be like this, this is the way you're supposed to behave. You adapt it without knowing why you're behaving the way you're behaving. And then now you become like an army, and that's why you find some of us have a very inflated ego. Because you believe that you're the best of the best. No one can tell you otherwise. And you find that you've blocked your mind from learning the actual, the reality of things on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's hard for you to learn new things because you don't want to unlearn.
Yes.
And relearn also.
Yeah, because you know.
Oh, because you know, you think you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does. Okay, that was high school,
mm-hmm.
but I think I became, I was still very, I was a social human being. Maybe from the comments from my high school mates, they can tell me what kind of a person
they thought I was. Oh, they thought you were.
Yeah.
By that time you were back in high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed my high school. Honestly, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And people have very different perceptions of what being in Alliance comprises. But may think I had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was in clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that there's a lot of... the kind of person it makes you become is that you want to become the best because there's so much competition as well.
Oh, which club was this? So you were in which club?
I started with choir, but mm-hmm. I did it form one, but I didn't continue.
Mm-hmm.
I did poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I did French.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I was not sportive. Oh my God, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in I think a French club took me from 3 to from 4. I did poetry club. Mm-hmm. I did, what is it? Yeah, I did choir.
Mm-hmm.
And through those things, I was able to socialize enough to know people and also earn certificates for performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So how did you now move now from high school? So remember, it's a high school. What next?
Yeah, so high school comes in, you finish, and then you're like, wah. I felt like a fool. Like I had a moment, or is it a year, of feeling so bad about myself because I didn't come out with the grades that I expected of myself. You feel like you're not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, why did I go to that school in the first place? I thought I was really an intelligent person. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the luxury of saying I want to become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or an architect or an actuarial scientist. Like, you're just there thinking,
what did you want to be at that particular time?
I'm very realistic with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to joke about it even in class, like in Form 1, when you get to class, you're all asked, what do you want to become? Pilot, blah, 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 all those things. Mm-hmm. Everyone is asked by then in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, doctor. But in all honesty, I never knew what I wanted to become. That was the hardest question. Because even in class 8, we had this thing called Harvest Day where you speak to people. It's a graduation ceremony where you graduate, mm-hmm. and you're finishing your primary school level.
Mm-hmm.
And then they describe you, oh, Eve is like this, at this, and she wants to become this when she grows up.
Mm-hmm.
Me, they say, what did they say? I wanted to become a pediatrician,
mm-hmm.
because I loved working with kids,
mm-hmm.
and just loved kids in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that's something I would want to do because it's something that I already love doing. Mm-hmm. Neurosurgeon, Makachet. I don't think I know what I want to do. Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. So I get to high school and I'm like, do I really want to become a pediatrician?
Mm-hmm.
And then you already know the subjects that would score you the points that you need to do to score to become the kind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Form 2 comes in and you're like, okay, I'm not even strong.
Una teremka.
Hey, it's like you're trying to climb a mountain. Instead of going up, you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, it's like I have to forgo this pediatrician thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to let it go. Mm-hmm. But by the time I was in Form 4, I had even applied to schools abroad and I wanted to do media arts.
Media arts?
Yeah, media arts and theater.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something I knew I was good at.
Mm-hmm.
I was good at writing, I was good at talking. Okay, I was always, make a list. Story! I had stories and I had an opinion. Like, I loved sharing, you know, being in a stage where we can be able to share our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I learn, and I learn from other people's experiences and everything. So mm-hmm. I thought that would be a very good field to go to. But then when you say it out loud,
mm-hmm.
and then considering you've come from Alliance, and then considering that you've always been a smart kid since you were a kid, I mean, everyone is looking at you like,
really,
that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
like, so now I have to look for something smart to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I said child psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, our school performed so badly because for reasons not to be disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
But we were, it was just a year of sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a bad year for us. So mm-hmm. our school performed very badly, and therefore we ended up being reduced for marks.
Mm-hmm.
So that even makes it, there was a lot of bridging our year.
Mm-hmm.
Ile, if you did badly in math or English, or so that you can bridge and go mm-hmm. directly into uni, but you can't get into uni Gava, mm-hmm. JAB,
mm-hmm.
you go into uni mm-hmm. Para.
Mm-hmm. Or in your parallel.
Yeah, but you do get to do the course you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to do bridging. I was so done with school, by the way. I was so disheartened. I just feel like I never felt fitting in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I still wanted to do, but there's no media arts in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking, so what is close to that?
What is close to that?
Then it's mass communication. And you're like, gosh, that's it.
That's what I'm going to tell people I'm doing, like, mass communication.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so eventually I ended up doing mass communication anyway. Mm-hmm. I did it in MMU.
Mm-hmm.
And I was okay with it. I was like, let me just settle with what I am good at, because at the end of the day, it's my life.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's what I want to do. It's what makes me happy. Because why am I doing things that make other people happy? Then I end up feeling depressed for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I finished campus. I did mass communication, MMU. Finished campus, and
you focused majorly on broadcast,
TV production. Yes,
broadcast.
Yeah, I did broadcast. I was like, PR is boring,
mm-hmm.
and print is oh my God, boring, because mm-hmm. it's print journalism. It's not print media.
Yeah, it's print journalism.
It's print journalism. Mm-hmm. So mass communication in Kenya is taught as like journalism. It's not like mass communication.
Mm-hmm.
Although mass communication is all those things
in one.
Journalism is not mass communication.
Mm-hmm.
And mass communication is not journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Like that journalism is just part of
mass communication.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked TV production. And then I was very good at editing. Mm-hmm. So me, I'm coming out of campus knowing, hey, me, I'm going to be one of those editors, female editors. Mm-hmm. Hey, my friend,
mm-hmm.
in a male-dominated industry,
mm-hmm.
you have to choose wisely.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do I never did editing. Mm-hmm. Imagine. You never did.
Now, Lisoma, MMU, how long, by the way?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I even had a demo. And then you apply for jobs, and I'm like, why does this feel so foreign?
Mm-hmm.
So the first job I got is, I did so many jobs before I got the job.
Before you got the job.
You get that, you know, the many jobs is those jobs that have nothing to do with what you.
Whatever you went to school to. Nini.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I even did M-Pesa. I sold electronics in Gara.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You even sold electronics in Gara.
Hmm.
So, ii time umehamazima manama bado uko
uzima? Bado, sisa 2013 imeanza tu.
Oh, no, umeanza sasa umemaliza
uni.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually I got, a guy asked me, and now that was how I sent my CV. That's how I market myself. What are you doing? I'm looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of job are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a job in media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything to do with entertainment, I would want to do coverage,
mm-hmm.
film production in sorts. I didn't mm-hmm. want to do media house journalism.
Mm-hmm. Or you wanted to be a freelancer?
No, I wanted to do film production. I didn't want to do
film journalism. Production, not journalism for news.
Yes, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was that time. I didn't have a name for it. I knew I didn't want to be in the media house.
Mm-hmm.
So every time someone would tell me, oh yeah, Nation is hiring, I'm like, good okay. for them.
Good for them.
KT4 has fired people. They're now hiring new people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, even my mom was getting frustrated, like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you applying for the
job?
So finally I got a guy. He mm-hmm. asked me, do you remember the mingle? I don't know if you ever went for the mingle. So there was this event called the mingle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the mingle, and this guy asked me, "What are you doing? What are you doing right now? What are you up to?" I'm like, "I'm looking for a job."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "What kind of job?" I'm like, "Well, I've done this. I've done so many things. I've mm-hmm. done experiential marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I've done brand marketing. I've done." I majored in TV production. I did mm-hmm. editing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, so you do media stuff? I'm like, yeah, media stuff, but not journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. There's a guy who's looking for a PA, but mm-hmm. that's just PA work. That's admin work.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind being his PA? He's a film director. I'm like, yes,
why not?
But then in my head, I'm like, admin? But then I'm like, it's mm-hmm. okay. We start from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yeah, you just take it up. Mm-hmm. Send me your CV. And then at that time, do you know how many people have told you, send me my CV? Send me your
CV. You're not even sure if they read, they went through the CVs.
So I hated that. Even a relative tells me, send me your CV. I'll just look at them. I'm like, yes.
I will send you.
mm-hmm. So I had, send me your CV.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, then I looked at it, I was like, for real? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, send me your CV. Call me on Monday. After mm-hmm. you send your CV, this is my number. Call me on Monday and tell me you sent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get back to you. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, this one looks a bit serious.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got, he followed it up, actually. Mm-hmm. I got an interview, and that's my first film production job.
What was the name of the?
Dreamcatcher. Yeah, Dreamcatcher Productions.
Mm-hmm.
So I started as a PA. Actually, I did the PA job.
Mm-hmm.
Then I settled in, and my film director was there for like 2 weeks. Then he flew out of the country, and I'm like, okay.
So I've just gotten the job. Two weeks later, you're moving out of the country.
Yeah, he wasn't moving out. He just flew out, came back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he left me the assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually doing something that I loved. Like, I'm so in awe. I'm like writing a script because
mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to. There's this app he showed me how to use, how to like break down a script, and mm-hmm. so I'm learning these things. But I'm like, is this really happening?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, from that job, within a month he mm-hmm. came back, and then we had the first shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And the first major shoot was a TVC. It was a television commercial, and I was an assistant, a production assistant,
mm-hmm.
plus his PA.
Mm-hmm.
I was so, like, I was gawking the whole time. I was like, oh my God, I'm in a production.
Like, you didn't even believe you're doing what you loved to do.
Yeah, so I did, mm-hmm. I worked with the PM, that's production manager, mm-hmm. and she liked my work
because
mm-hmm. I was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that shoot, the boss decided, you're no longer my personal assistant, alone your production manager for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay, I've just
what does that even mean?
Promoted like that.
But money doesn't come in. It's just...
Oh, ni jina tu. Ni jina tu. Unajenga tu jina.
I was like, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I grew, and I became like... good at my job, because my boss was very he helped me learn things mm-hmm. through him. Mm-hmm. He was very accommodative. He understood that I was very fresh, but he was always willing to help. Even mm-hmm. if we got cross with each other, you know, sometimes you're not doing the, like, oh my God, I've done the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I made mistakes, he was always willing to help me learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I was able to do, like, even now I was able to even work with big companies like Coke. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to walk into Coke like it's my it's like my workplace, mm-hmm. like my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into Coke headquarters, and the guys are like, oh, hi Eve, how are you doing? Which department are you going to? I'm like, oh, this time I'm going to this other department. Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, we need to work with you. I'll send you an email. And you're like, oh my gosh, these people are talking to me like I'm a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I now find, like, really, really fell in love with work.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then after that I went to 66. I did.
How long did you work as a production manager?
In Dreamcatcher, it was a year,
mm-hmm.
and then in 66 was a year and a half.
Oh, so you went to 66?
Yes, 66.
So how did you get? How did you get that connection now from Kutoka Dreamcatcher now to 66?
I was talking to a friend, and the same way they asked me, what are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. how is work?
Connection, muhimu.
I'm like, my work is right now not the way I wanted it to be. These are the nini qualms, but hey, I wouldn't mind growing. He was like, oh yeah, I have a guy who has a company and is looking for a producer. I'm like, oh, okay. Can you do producer work? I'm like, I think production manager and producer are almost the same thing. It's just that they have different titles. It's almost like the way a pharmacist is also a doctor, but people don't look as a pharmacist as a doctor. So it's the same thing. Production manager is actually a producer. It's just that they're not called producers.
Oh, they're not called producers.
Yeah. But in a different, it depends on the scale of work. Because if it's in a very big company, like the way we have film studios all the way in like Hollywood, there are different ranks now where a production manager will do some things that, I mean, a producer will do some things that a production manager is not required to do because they are dealing with different things. But in such a, like, if you're doing a very big production, like a TV series, or you're doing a movie, a production manager answers to a producer. But in a setup where you're just, it's a very small company, you find that you take those both roles sometimes. You take one role at times. Because you're the one who works very closely with the film director or the owner of the company or the executive producer. Yeah.
So you got the job and then?
Yeah, I worked there for 1.5 years. Then after, now 2015, by the time 2015 was ending, I was getting, I got tired of work. I think it just, I got overwhelmed by work and I decided to leave work. I mean, film. I had tried looking for another job. I just felt like I was drowning. I was drowning because I wasn't growing the way I thought. There's a lot of, I don't know, sometimes the industry doesn't serve you the way you want to be served. And you get a lot of backlash and everything. So you feel like you're not being your best self.
Yeah, you're not being productive.
Yes. So that's how I felt. So by the end of 2015, I had started, had tried applying for new jobs. I didn't get. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to quit this job and I'm going to start my own business.
So you decided to quit production manager. You decided to quit that to go start your own
business.
Your own business.
Yeah.
So which business is this? Yenye umekufanya hadi umeamua sasa, like now I'm done.
It's not even kuamua. It is just taking a leap of faith.
Oh, it is taking a leap of faith.
Because you're tired. It's either I sit here and get depressed and disintegrate or I save my life. So I started in 2016. I started Eden Lingerie, my online lingerie store. I worked on it for a year. And then in 2017, I got called back by Dreamcatcher. We worked with them the whole year.
So by the time you're going back, had you decided now to close your
no,
shop?
No, I didn't close my shop.
Ilikuwa inaendelea bado kuran.
I managed it in a way that I could still run it even when I was working. When I'm not traveling and then I come back, I made it like a kitchen garden. You know, you work on it, you till it the way you are when you're available. So even my clients, the way I would communicate with them, I'd tell them, I'm not around this week, but can I deliver this next week? And somehow they stuck with me. I didn't get a lot of arrogance from my clients. When I was, if I'm not able to deliver, I just say, I'm not able to deliver this week. I'll be coming back next week. And then they say, fine. Because they've already chosen what they want from my pictures, from my social mediums. So we've already agreed. And on the price and everything. So all I'm left to do is, I know when I come back next week, I'm delivering to so-and-so, nani, wants this and this. This one wants this and this, this and this and this. Yeah. And I come back, I deliver, and then move on to other things. So 2017, I was back to work on contract with Dreamcatcher. Then 2018, I decided, no, I think I want to stick to doing, I don't want to be employed, so I didn't renew the contract at that point. Then 2018, it expanded my network. I met other people who are working in agribusiness network in the continent, and I started exploring other avenues, and I met different people, and I made friends in the continent. Like mm-hmm. I can say now I have African friends.
You have African friends. See wa Kenya too. See wa Wazima.
Yes. So mm-hmm. we're trying to build a network for the youth mm-hmm. to believe in agriculture again, because mm-hmm. that is what Africa's resource is. Mm-hmm. Our soil is our resource, our biggest resource. Mm-hmm. For not just molding, it's for providing food. Mm-hmm. It's for providing the things that we need to care for our bodies, for our souls. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be nice if I venture into this network mm-hmm. and build it as a communication consultant and not necessarily as an agripreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just mostly, I wanted to work on the communication aspect of it and how agribusiness and agriculture was being communicated to mm-hmm. African youth
mm-hmm.
and help them to understand that going into real estate is not the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is stealing our land. We are leaving the rural areas and going to the urban areas to look for white collar jobs, but mm-hmm. those farms are left bare and then they sell them to foreigners and they build big houses, but we're selling our soil.
It takes me back to that question. There is a question, I don't know, it was history or a social studies question. Uh-huh. You are moving from urban to rural. You remember?
Yeah.
I think there was something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I feel like that was because of the, like I said, mm-hmm. our education system was to create an army to work in the industries.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been cultured to think that these other professionals are more important than what is actually the basis of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Africa, the basis of it is Mother Nature. It is the soil. The soil produces the minerals,
mm-hmm.
produces the oil,
mm-hmm.
produces the food.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we just come back into our own lives and mm-hmm. the education that we have? You can be an accountant in agribusiness.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the IT expert in agribusiness and help the farmers know how to, you know, create apps and all those things. So that's what I was now getting into.
Oh, that is what you are now getting into.
Yeah.
In journalism still, but now you're getting into agribusiness.
Yeah, I would say communication, not journalism, but continue.
All right. Oh, communication.
Yeah.
You know, we're used to saying journalism.
Journalism is news. It's mostly news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you see, communication is in brand marketing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're selling cassavas, because you meet with people in conferences who are selling cassavas and they've really branded them well. People who are selling omena.
Mm-hmm.
But now imagine now when you create this market where we can sell to each other. There are things that are found in East Africa, they're mm-hmm. not found in Central Africa. There are things in Central Africa, they're not found in North Africa. Mm-hmm. There are things in North Africa that are not found in South Africa. So mm-hmm. that's the kind of, that communication, that seeing, because the more you see things from the screen,
mm-hmm.
from when you hear them from the radio, when you see them on paper, on mm-hmm. the books, on everything, that is changing communication
mm-hmm.
in our storybooks. Because mm-hmm. we had storybooks that mm-hmm. related to our African land.
Mm-hmm.
But how many books do our kids read that relate to what they, like, to the forest, to the trees,
mm-hmm.
to the farm?
Mm-hmm.
We changed our mindset where when you talk about my mother is a farmer, it's like, wah,
mm-hmm.
your mom is doing badly. Yes. exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And even when the pictures they are shown, the farmers look really wary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the communication we wanted to change so mm-hmm. that farmers can also look like they're doing well, because farming is where the wealth is.
Mm-hmm.
Agribusiness is where the wealth is. Agriculture is where the wealth is. And the people, the foreigners, are not telling us about it.
Mm-hmm.
They are just telling us, you guys become engineers.
Yeah, they want people to do the white collar job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But why are we becoming engineers and we're not making tractors that will till our land?
Oh, yeah, true.
Because we understand our land better than they do.
Mm-hmm.
But then they give you the education, then they come and take over your land.
Mm-hmm.
And then they create problems which are not there, and they've created diseases,
mm-hmm.
and now we are busy solving other problems that they were not there to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
How are we suffering from lack of, there is drought and famine, yet mm-hmm. our land is very fertile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are people dying mm-hmm. out of starvation, yet we have food in abundance?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how did you now move from that? How did that
I was still go? In that mm-hmm. and I was still running my business. Mm-hmm. So that was something it, at the back of my head I was still working on. You know, it's that one you're trying to create the connections and mm-hmm. having conversations and trying really much. But it's like you need the right support.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just not the time hadn't arrived yet
mm-hmm.
for that thing to take off the way I wanted it to take off.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always in my mind. Mm-hmm. And as I'm running my business, I'm trying to think, how can I be able to open a communication consultancy where I can be able to help African youth to enrich their businesses mm-hmm. in how they communicate?
Mm-hmm.
Show documentaries that show the winning stories,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that there are African farmers who are the youth and they look good and mm-hmm. they dress well and their kids are in good schools.
Mm-hmm.
How do we tell that story?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time 2020 is getting there, I was still managing my business and then COVID hits. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? What does this mean for me? What does it mean for Africa? What does it mean for my business?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean for these aspirations that I have?
Mm-hmm.
When COVID hit, my business started picking up more than it was picking up before.
It started picking up more now.
Yes,
that the
because
COVID has
because people are locked down, they now have enough time to shop online, mm-hmm. and therefore it's a thing. Now they have all the time to go through your pages and see what they want and order, and now it became more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, great.
Great. Now my business is picking.
Because honestly, I was about to fall into depression. I was like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
What does lockdown mean for me? Now, mm-hmm. how will I pay rent?
Mm-hmm.
I can't move back. I can't go to Shagome. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm a born and bred in Nairobi. I'm a city girl. Mm-hmm. How am I going? I can't survive.
When is there a Nairobi? Yeah,
I can't. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of pedos. It's actually because I'm seeing the opportunities that are here for me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't. I'm not ready to go back, there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go back there when I have a purpose.
Yeah, true.
When I'm doing something,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, I'm not very well endowed in terms of agriculture,
mm-hmm.
but if it is working with people in the rural areas, I would want to work with them,
mm-hmm.
but not just going to settle juu umeshiwa.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
So it picks up, and I'm like, whew, thank you God that
your leap of faith is now working.
Like, whoo, whoo, mm-hmm. whoo, yes, finally, mm-hmm. it seems like this business is finally doing me justice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way you've ever loved, like, I've loved that business. Mm-hmm. I have taken care of it. It was like that child of mine,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it wasn't treating me well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen an expression where moms say, like, you're the one who stays with that child. You're the one who is yendana kutapikia.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who've just pooped on you, susued on you. You've been with them the whole day. Then the father walks in. And then they're smiling at the dad and don't want anything to you. And you're like,
to do with you now.
The disrespect.
I know. Mm-hmm.
So that's how I felt about my business. I'm like, this business, I am here taking nice photos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here going up and down River Road, Kirinyaga, Yanini Koko Kwate, trying to make this business grew.
Mm-hmm.
So finally when it's taking off, I'm like, yes, thank you. Something is looking up. I am getting
something is now going to work out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then April comes in and I'm like, hey, you know, I don't want to celebrate because I don't know if it's too soon. I don't mm-hmm. know if COVID is ending in May.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what is going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a Kenyan thing. It mm-hmm. is a worldwide thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're thinking they've blocked. They have now said lockdown on all countries. I'm like, wow. I'm asking people in my other countries, how are you guys? How are you guys? Are mm-hmm. you guys okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I start getting tired. And I'm like, is this business trying to tell me that I am not strong enough to serve you?
Mm-hmm.
So at first I thought I was just being a spoiled sport
because
mm-hmm. I was getting really tired. Then I started having headaches. Then I started getting really stiff on my shoulders and my neck. And I'm like, is this normal?
So you're still going to work at that particular
moment?
Yeah,
because you know, I'm running the online business. I had already created a routine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd even created delivery days and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, Eden Lingerie was the business that made me really experiment, take risks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really, really did take risks with it, because it was like I look at Valentine's and I'm like, let me take a risk. I go and buy lingerie, like those
the red
baby dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, these ones will go. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I buy goods worth 20 Gs,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, let me take nice photos.
You're taking nice photos and posting for people to
my
see.
My friend Valentine's, no one is buying. I want to cry.
No one is buying. So my car would have killed.
I'm like, this money should multiply and pay my rent. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes even go. I made clothes with my friend. Mm-hmm. She also had her own business of manufacturing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and told her I want to make bumming shorts, you know, like really bumming clothes for us women, especially plus size women. We don't have clothes that you can just bum with and look really and feel comfortable in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're only designed for skinny people,
mm-hmm.
or slender people. I'm like, this is not for right.